Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. And once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists assign a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long-term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.
Welcome to another sparkling edition of The Thought Police with me, Mike Graham, and him,
Kevin O'Sullivan.
And here we are, Kev. We're about to enter a new era. I hope you're ready for it, because we've done the first 100 days.
The reset.
Yes. We've had the first 150 days, I think, now, the first 5 months. And now, Keir Starmer's worked out what we all knew fucking ages ago. Basically, this government's a pile of shite, and it's going to have to start again.
Yeah. Well, he's going to make a speech. Well, by the time you hear this, you probably will have heard this speech.
But, it doesn't matter whether we've heard the speech, because we know what he's going to say.
It'll be full of shit. Mm. It is a reset speech. Yeah. You know, he's trying to draw a line under 150 days of disaster.
Yes.
By saying, these are my five sacred missions. Mm. So he's got these five missions. The thing is...
Are they missions now, or milestones? Yeah, well, are they milestones, pledges, missions?
Yeah, well, the missions... are changing. They keep changing.
Yes.
For example, his original missions, but before he was elected, included the, you know, getting to grips with the migrant crisis.
Okay.
The migrant crisis has completely left his list of sacred missions because he can't fucking solve it.
Yes.
He also says he's going to reform the justice system. How's that going from...
That's going really well.
Yeah, reforming the justice system by letting out loads of prisoners.
And not locking anybody up.
Not locking anyone up, and everybody who has to go to court has to wait 2 fucking years. Yeah, great.
Have you seen the great ruse, by the way, that if anybody ever gets done for anything, and this would be a lesson, I would say, to the people in the old in the rioting situation, plead not guilty, because they were all convinced to plead guilty, so they were rushed through the justice system, right? If you plead not guilty, apparently you go to the bottom of the pile again, and there's a pretty good chance that the case won't be heard for at least 2 years, by which time all the witnesses will have fucked off, and you'll probably get off with it.
One of the great scandals of the summer were all those people, the rioters, the alleged rioters.
Yeah,
I'm not condoning them.
The accused.
I'm not condoning
Some of them did worse things than others.
But a lot of them basically did the square root of fuck all. You know, they shouted some nasty words and maybe lobbed one brick or something. They were all, by their legal aid lawyers, advised to plead guilty. Plead guilty and you'll get a low sentence. They all pleaded guilty and got 3 fucking years.
Fucking hammered,
absolute disaster.
So that was clearly, in my view, and I will call it what I think it is, a conspiracy by the government and the legislature and the lawyers to fucking stitch all these people up.
Just a ridiculous suggestion that this wasn't the politicisation of our justice system. The Prime Minister told all the judges, bang them up.
Yeah.
Give them 3 years. Also, as
teach them a lesson.
Yeah. So also, as you say, everyone else, you know, if you I'm not advising anybody to do this, but commit a crime tomorrow, get nicked, you will wait probably 2 years before your case comes to court.
And if you plead not guilty, you wait another 2 years.
Yeah, these people who were ill-advised to plead guilty, a lot of them, were in court within about 3 days and in jail in 5.
Yeah.
Fucking disgrace.
I know. Absolutely. So the whole fucking clattering train as a complete disaster, summed up perfectly, I suppose, by the lighting of the Christmas tree.
Right? Five, four, three, two, one. Yay! Yeah. Well, that was a nervous moment.
Yeah, and then that was the great summation of him, his absolute and utter surprise that it worked. Yeah. Oh, it works!
But you know what? The thing about that was, we just filmed Clash of the Titans and I said exactly this. Mm. This is a window into his tortured psyche.
Yes.
This is Keir Starmer for you. So this is a happy Christmas moment, as a lot of people have said. Standing next to him was his hostage wife.
Yes. She didn't look happy.
Look like a happy Christmas person. No. But the only thing he's thinking. The only thing he's thinking is, hope they don't go wrong.
Yeah.
That's what he thinks. Yeah. Technocrat. Yeah. Things must go right. Yeah, that was a nervous moment. No, it wasn't.
And then he ends it with his final words, it's all good. It isn't all good. It's all fucking bad.
Yeah.
Nothing's good.
How's your year been, dear?
Nothing's good. I mean, since he won the election, it's literally gone from bad to worse.
Yeah.
This should have been, you would think, for somebody like him, the high point of his career, becoming Prime Minister. Yeah. But it's actually the low point of his career because he now looks like a hapless, useless, fucking under siege twat.
Yeah, and the word is, the rumour mill in Westminster, which actually is pretty reliable. Yeah. When you hear things from the Westminster crowd, particularly the journalists in the lobby, you can often take it to the bank. The word is that he is fucking hating every minute
of his job.
I'm sure he is. And sort of wants out. Mm. So he had, you know, this long ambition to be the Prime Minister. This is a serious case of careful what you wish for.
A bit like Boris in a way, isn't it?
Yeah, good point.
Boris became the king of the world. And then once he got there, he kind of went, actually, I don't really like this. I can't go out. Can't go fucking shagging. You know, I've got to be followed everywhere I go.
Yeah.
You know,
everyone calls me a cunt.
Everyone fucking hates me and he likes to be popular. Yeah. And I think most of these politicians, regardless of what party they're in, they want to be popular.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I think he convinces himself. I mean, I listened to a Prime Minister's questions today and all of these, you can hear the Labour backbenchers kind of howling their approval of every time he said something bad about Kemi Badenoch. And he's trying, obviously, to be more manful and more sort of forceful.
Yeah.
And he's trying to be, you know, deliberately provocative and all of that. It doesn't suit him because he doesn't know how to do it.
Yeah, no. He's incompetent.
Yeah.
And his cabinet are hopeless. I mean, this is the worst front bench
no question.
We've ever seen.
But I said that.
I don't say that lightly.
That months ago. Look around and look what you've got. You had, you know, Angela Rayner, David Lammy, Yvette Cooper, right? So many people who should not really have a job anywhere near power, and never mind a fucking local council, right?
And by the way, so it just by way of a side issue, this is a fucking disgrace if you ask me. So that fucking crook, Louise Hay,
the convicted fraudster, I've lost my phone.
Oh, no, I haven't.
Oh, no. It's at home.
I haven't.
Oh, no, here's a picture of it.
Yeah.
I'll take this picture of it and send it in after I've reported it stolen because I've just found it.
See, so Keir Starmer.
Oh, you're a very clever fraudster.
You know, next time you're going to. Keir Starmer allegedly knew about this.
Yeah.
So next time you're thinking of appointing a Secretary of State, Keir, maybe make sure they don't have a conviction for fraud in their personal
history. Or, alternatively, if you didn't think it was a problem when you appointed her, if you knew about it, why did she have to leave?
Well, exactly. Her problem was she got found out.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she had to quit. This was last Friday.
Yeah.
On your show, very funny, when you were just
saying, it took four minutes.
She's going to have to resign. Oh, wait a minute. She has resigned. Yeah. I played that on my show.
That was
fucking funny.
Yeah.
And by the way, that resignation letter dropped at 6:10 in the morning.
Yeah.
That was a government in panic station.
You know, also, it had the previous night's date on it.
Yeah.
So it had the wrong date. It had Thursday night's date. Came out on Friday.
Yeah, but they were in panic stations.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she did less than 150 days, less than 5 months, is it?
Yeah.
As a secretary.
Just about five months.
She got a £17,000
pay. I don't know if she's taken it yet. I mean, she's being advised by, of all people, believe it or not, Jess Phillips, not to take the money.
But she's entitled.
But she will be entitled.
Now, look, we've got to stop this. Why these fucking politicians with their snouts in the trough in Westminster vote themselves conditions, terms and conditions that are miles better than everyone else. So if you and I resign, if we write a letter of resignation, you don't get any payoff.
No.
If you get sacked for numerical reasons, sorry mate, your surplus requirement, then you're entitled to some kind of compensation. But if you resign, why is she getting 17 grand?
Even Jess Phillips, who I'm no fan of, right, said, you know, in my world and in the world of my constituents, you get a payoff if you're being sacked from a job that you've been doing for a long time. Not if you've been sacked from a job that you've only just started
She's not been sacked, though. She resigned.
Well, whatever. Either way.
But that's important. That's important.
But either way, though, she's still entitled to the money in the same way that I remember doing this story years ago in Scotland, because we had to put a paper out before the election result. And we knew that we wouldn't be able to get the election result into the paper. So we did the real winners of the election are these. And it was all the MPs who were retiring who were all entitled to a £40,000 payoff.
Because
they quit.
Yeah, it's a fucking joke. And
look at all of the fucking money that we give out. I mean, Liz Kendall was in the news this week, wasn't she?
Yeah,
she uses taxpayers' money to heat her fucking house.
Her £4 million mansion in Notting Hill that she shares with a very rich financier husband.
Right.
We are paying her fucking heating bill, unlike all those millions of pensioners are going to freeze to fucking death. And what about Liz Truss? Liz Truss did less than, 45 days as Prime Minister?
Yeah.
On the basis of that, she will get paid £125,000 every fucking year for the rest of her fucking useless life.
Yeah.
Well, unbelievable.
They never anticipated that, I suppose. They didn't think
that's fair.
You're going to be Prime Minister, but you're only going to do it for a month.
But that should not be right.
But you remember back as well to when there was that sort of fucking ridiculous musical chairs scenario going on when Boris Johnson was in his final days and Rishi Sunak resigned, and then was it Jeremy Hunt that resigned as well? And they started moving all these people around in the cabinet. And people had jobs literally for 24 hours.
That's right.
And education secretary, great, fine. And then tomorrow, sorry, can't give you that. Going to give you something else. And fucking, I think particularly Grant Shapps had about 5 different cabinet jobs. I was one of the few people that interviewed him while he was Home Secretary, right?
He had to get in there quick because he lasted 12 minutes.
Yeah, because then he was fucking environment or something else, you know. It was fucking ridiculous. But yeah, the whole system of our politics and our political system right now is a fucking joke. Nobody agrees with what they do. And of course, Keir Starmer and the Labourites are all going, oh, but it's all within the rules, so we haven't broken any rules.
I fucking hate this.
And it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, they're saying it's all within
You've made the rules, and now you like the rules, so of course you're not breaking them, because you don't have to break them in order to milk the fucking system.
It's a disgrace. It really is. Should we talk about old Greg?
I suppose Greg Wallace has to make an appearance, doesn't he? Because you've been defending him quite well. I think the problem with defending him is that it's going to get worse for him, because it's very clear now that the BBC are the villains of the piece here, because The Sun today had a piece saying that back in 2009, one particular contestant was upset by something he did vis-a-vis thrusting his groin into her face, and they fucking edited it out. Now, if that's the case, that means the BBC knew about it, willfully edited it out of the programme because they knew it would look bad. Instead of what they should have done, which is to say to him, look, Greg, what the fuck are you doing? What are you thinking? Do not fucking wave your cock around in front of people, right?
Yeah, no, exactly right. Look, for me, this is... The Greg Wallace story is a complex and difficult issue. It goes like this, right?
Yeah, it's not that complex.
Well, it is. It kind of is for me, for these reasons, right?
Yeah.
Now, you know, I know about the TV industry. I've worked around it for a long, long time. So I've been hearing the stories about Greg Wallace for many a long year, for 15 years. Now, all of those people who say, oh, come on, can't a bloke make a saucy joke in the office? I absolutely agree with them. You should be able to make saucy jokes, and if the old middle class woman is offended, so fucking what? However, I know what these allegations are, and they're a lot more than saucy behaviour. So let's say it this way: he denies these allegations, but let's say most people in the TV industry believe that he deserves his fate.
Yes.
Right. That said,
well, there's not many people defending him.
Yeah. That said, what I despise about what's happening to him is the cancellation process.
Yeah.
You know, that one person complains, 12 more get on board. Now we're in the bandwagon stage. Mm. He did this to me. She did this to me. He did this to me. The BBC is fucking it up in spades.
Of course they are. But they've been fucking it up for years.
Yeah, and the BBC kept this secret. Mm. It's another of the secrets.
This is my point. If they've edited things out of broadcast programmes that they knew were going to put either him or them in a bad light, they fucking knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
So why on earth they didn't say to him, well, you've got to fucking pack it in, mate, otherwise we'll have to part company. That's what would have happened in most places.
They also knew about what was being reported. Many people have reported him over the years.
Right.
As I say, this isn't just saucy horseplay in the office. It's worse than that. Mm. These are the allegations. I have to keep saying and he denies them. But he can deny.
Well, he doesn't deny everything. He doesn't deny, for example, running
around with his bollocks apart from a sock.
With a sock on the end of his cock.
He should be socked.
He hasn't, you know, and I said this over the course of the week, and we've all talked about it. And some people on social media, of course, will be going, oh, nobody cares. Why are you having a go at him? Well, because it's not about just that. It's about people don't run around in an office fucking naked. They just don't do it. And he shouldn't have done it. And they should have stopped him.
Well, exactly. But the point is that in a sense, this entire, you know, the BBC is investigating external. Forget it. He's fucking finished.
Yeah, of course.
He ain't ever coming back. No. It's over for him.
Also, the fact that he made that ludicrous statement about middle-class women of a certain age and then didn't even stick with it. He ended up saying, oh, I'm actually sorry. I'm under an awful lot of stress. I shouldn't have said what I said. And I'm sorry if I offended anyone. It's a classic, I'm sorry if I offended you, but you're fucking an idiot for being offended. That's what he meant.
Yeah, no, right? Absolutely, absolutely. There was a, you know, apparently he went against his publicist's advice and it was good
no
advice.
No shit, Sherlock.
No, it's good advice not to make that statement. Yeah. Middle-class women of a certain age. He's trying to frame it as if, you know, I come from a different world. I'm a chirpy cockney.
But he's not, though.
I'm a working class guy.
Because he's been on TV now.
Well, he is a chirpy cockney working class guy. But this isn't.
No, but he's not. But I don't think he is, because he's on fucking TV making a lot of money, right?
He's working class.
No, he's not. Well, it's an argument you can have, but once you start making fucking hundreds of thousands of pounds a year working on television, I'm sorry, you're not working class anymore.
But what he's trying to say is that these middle class women don't understand that this is what working class blokes are like. Yeah. No, it's not.
It really isn't.
This isn't about working class cockney.
All right, let me put it
this is about
way.
His personality.
Exactly right. If you went into a pub, which you can find in any part of the country, full of working class guys and women, and if you went up to women and started doing some of the things that he's doing, you'd get a smack in the mouth.
And that is
probably from the women more than you would from the men.
We're not being woke to say this, you know, because oh, you're so woke. The allegations against him are way over the fucking top.
Look, if somebody came up to my daughter and did what he did, I'd give him a fucking smack.
Exactly right. So this is not about the way working class chirpy cockneys behave at work. This is about the way Greg Wallace behaves. And on a personal note, if I never fucking see that boring, lovable London cunt on the telly ever again, it won't be a moment too soon. Well, I've fucking useless.
I hate those shows anyway. I
2 minutes.
I don't watch them. I just don't. I'm not interested in MasterChef. I'm not interested in fucking The Bake Off. I'm not interested in any fucking old shit, really. Yeah. Any of that stuff. You can do without it, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, yeah. No, exactly. But what they'll do is they'll replace Greg Wallace.
Yeah.
With someone in a wheelchair,
and
that the series will start again next year, and no one.
Well, because it makes too much money, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a successful show.
Yeah,
no one knows. You know, no one will remember.
But the question will be, how has he been suspended? As it was with Hugh Edwards, right? And again, we're not drawing the same comparison. Mm-hmm. But if he's suspended with pay, I don't know whether he's being paid by the production company. I don't know whether the production company is being paid. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether they will continue to be in the relationship with the BBC. Nobody knows the answer to any of these questions. And once again, the BBC will probably seek to withhold all of that information and will try and keep it all quiet so that we don't find out.
That fucking state broadcaster is a national disgrace.
Somebody just came into the room and packed a load of stuff up.
We've got lots of people coming in the room while we're recording it.
Sorry about that.
No, that state broadcaster is a national fucking disgrace.
Yeah, it is. But what I'm saying is we should not lose track of the fact that, and I've said this before on a couple of other programmes, you know, the people behind this, the people who check these things, don't seem to be taking a fall for it. You know, we still haven't had anyone at the BBC fired over what was known about Hugh Edwards, right? You knew stuff about Hugh Edwards that lots of people at the BBC knew before anybody else.
Loads
did.
Of people.
They
knew.
Didn't do anything.
They
right?
knew about Hugh. Right? They knew about Jimmy Savile. Yeah. They knew about Rolf Harris. Yeah.
They knew about Tim Westwood. There's exactly. a big report coming out about him pretty soon.
Exactly.
And at
right.
the end of the day, they also knew about fucking Greg Wallace. Now, we're not saying he did the same things, but he did things which he shouldn't have been allowed
to do. It's the
same
syndrome.
Same syndrome. And I don't see yet that the BBC has learned any lessons at all, because I don't see anybody's name in the frame. I mean, Tim Davey, frankly, should fucking hang up his hat and resign.
Exactly.
Surely the guy who's in charge of the whole thing, who's had so many chances to make out that he's fixed it and hasn't fixed anything, surely he should fuck off.
He's absolutely fucking useless. Mm. But nothing will happen to him. No one will get fired. The BBC will carry on regardless, because we've got a Labour government in, and Labour governments love the fucking state broadcaster.
Yeah,
they do. As simple as that.
They absolutely do.
Even by the way, a quick footnote: the licence fee has just gone up by £5.
By another £5.
Fucking daylight.
It
fucking
is
robbery.
Absolute daylight robbery. Let's talk about the old LGBT fucking football story, because it's taken another turn, because now Man United are involved in it. There's a player at Man United who they were apparently going to wear for the Man United Everton game. They were apparently going to walk out with some LGBT top on, right?
Yeah.
Which they were going to take off before the game. And this one particular player, whose name escapes me, he's a Muslim player, apparently refused to wear it.
They're all refusing.
Right? And they're just going, fuck that. You know what I find interesting, though, is that the sort of the lefties in all of this are not attacking the Muslim players. They're attacking the Christian players who say, I want to put my love of Jesus and my love of God on it. And that's the guy from Ipswich, isn't it? Crystal Palace.
Crystal Palace is the captain. So all captains in the Premier League are supposed to wear these LGBTQ plus armbands.
Why?
Exactly.
Why?
I'll tell you why they're required. In exactly the same way as the fucking useless fuck all football association. Requires or asks players to they still take the knee.
Yeah, they do on selected games.
Yeah,
though, don't
the
they?
Great thing about footballers taking the knee, because they've been doing it for two seasons now, it's completely stamped out racism. Mm. Racism is over.
There's
now
no more than
because footballers get on the fucking knees before a fucking match. How ridiculous! Mm.
But they don't do it for every match, though. They just do it for the first match of the season, last match of the season, a couple in between, right?
No,
so they've stopped doing it for all of them.
Most of them do it most of the time.
Do they?
Yeah.
Because I thought they'd changed that last season.
No, it's much more voluntary than it used to be.
Right.
But, you know, at Fulham they mostly do it. And the whole crowd goes, So why are they virtue signalling about
this? And they
this?
Do it for such a short amount of time.
And why? Well, you know, if a player wants to put a little armband on saying he loves Jesus or he loves Allah or Muhammad.
Yeah, but he wouldn't be allowed to.
Why not?
Yeah,
why
because
not? Who
you
the
can't
fuck?
Have a political statement.
Well, religious.
Yeah.
Religious, but you clearly...
No, you can't have a political statement.
Well, what's LGBTQ plus? That's political.
I know.
That's political.
Of course it is. That's why it's so hypocritical.
And then all these Muslim footballers, so they basically don't much like gay people.
Isn't it funny? Nobody wants to talk about that. You know, the sort of the gay pride lot and the LGBTQ, whatever they are, plus A, B, C, D, fucking E.
Yeah.
You know, they want to address the idea that actually in Muslim countries homosexuality is illegal. They don't want to sort of ask the question of any of these guys. Why don't you think? Maybe we should, you know, because imagine if it was a guy who was a Christian who said, look, actually I don't think much of homosexuality. Actually, I don't approve of it. And in fact, I don't want to wear this fucking badge on my chest or this fucking armband. They'd go, well, maybe we can re-educate you on how homosexuality is a really good thing. They won't do it with the Muslims.
Well, the palace, yeah, exactly. The palace captain Gay is his name. So he wears the armband, but he writes on it, I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
So the FA said...
It's a pretty harmless fucking slogan.
Exactly. The FA said, well, you can't do that. So he did it again.
Yeah.
So the FA, well, you know, stop fucking virtue signalling, you bunch of morons.
Yeah.
And just let people play football and let people watch football.
Mm.
Fucking, the FA has become so fucking stupidly woke.
Yeah.
It's so out of step with the fans.
Yeah.
As I say, I mean, I go to a lot of football and every time the players take the knee, the entire crowd, boom!
Right.
It's not because they're racist.
No.
Because they're sick of this
because
shit.
Because they think it's crap.
They're sick of this shit.
Also, they pay quite good money to go and see what is a very entertaining game, hopefully most of the time. They don't need to be preached at or told, you know, oh, we want to show solidarity with our brothers and sisters. How about you show some solidarity solidarity with your brothers and sisters in Qatar who were getting hurled off fucking buildings because they don't happen to have the right sexuality.
Yeah, we had the World Cup last time. Yeah. And also the TV commentators on Sky and BBC, they always go, when the players take the knee, they're very important that we take a stand against
racism.
And apparently,
you know what they also do is they turn the fucking volume down so you can't hear the crowd
booing.
Everywhere you go, it's being... They won't broadcast that in case it's, a problem.
And then, you know why it's so jarring, why it rankles so much, and one of the reasons, obviously I like watching football, I like watching Fulham and all that, but I also love going to Fulham, or to football, because football stadiums are the last woke-free zones in Britain.
Yeah.
You know, some of us chants and everything are absolutely disgusting and fucking funny.
Yeah.
And so when the FA introduce all this woke horseshit, people hate it,
Well, I was on a train, as you know, long train coming back from Edinburgh, and at various points, football fans got on because it was a Saturday afternoon, and there were some Leeds fans that got on, and I don't know who the other crowd were, but I think there were some Wolves fans maybe that got on, and they were having a right old go at each other, and I was quite enjoying it, and it was quite badly spoken in the sense that there's quite a lot of swearing, fuck you, wankers, but I was like standing trying to get a drink, and they were all pissed, and they were sort of coming up, putting their arms around me, all right, mate, and it was quite good natured, it was fun, and it was the kind of thing that, if the fucking woke police had been there, because at one point, this was the thing, I was sitting with some Wolves fans just behind me, and they were obviously going, oh, Wolverhampton, and at one point or other, this announcement came over the tannoy saying, we're going to be a little bit late into Birmingham, there's a few backed up trains, you just want to say, please be careful out there, and be respectful of your fellow passengers, right, and please mind your language. And me and this guy just caught each other's eyes at the same time. We both went, bollocks. Because people don't want to be instructed on how to fucking talk to each other.
Yeah.
Just fuck off. And they all had fucking cans. The table's literally covered in cans of beer. And they're drinking it.
They must
have had about 25 in the space of about half an hour.
But that's what you're talking about.
That's what you do.
I mean, in the nicest possible way, you're talking about, yobs. You're talking about young blokes.
Was a family, actually. Yeah, this was a guy with his wife and his son.
It's really?
Yeah, I mean, the son was obviously 20-something, but the dad was older, the wife was older, they'd obviously been to a game, and they were drinking on their way home.
But football fans generally, that's what they're like. They're loud, they're bawdy, they're near the knuckles, singing, you're cunts, you are, and all this sort of stuff. And they don't want all this taking the fucking knee and LGBTQ+.
Right. Language.
The FA are steering themselves into a big problem here. They've created a crisis.
But they always have, and they've never known any other way because they're run by people who haven't got a fucking clue and who would be frightened probably to sit amongst all those fans. Yeah. A bit like Keir Starmer, who now says, I can't go into the normal part of the stadium. There's a good reason for that, because they'll all call you a fucking cunt.
Prince William can, but the Prime Minister can't.
Right.
Starmer thinks he's more special than the fucking royal family. Mm. Special cunt, motherfucker.
Yeah, absolutely right. What else has been going on? We should talk about something you were telling me about the other day. Wasn't there a story you needed to tell us about that was an update on something? I can't remember what it was.
My computer's still fucked.
Is it?
I've got to make an appointment with Apple.
Right.
I think the big thing, I got my tooth done. That's finally done.
Finally came in from Italy.
It's finally done. Why don't we finish with that story you just told me? Brilliant story about...
Christmas, We've been talking about Thunderbirds.
We've got the Christmas rush on.
Yeah.
We've just been talking about Thunderbirds. Mm. So there was once a big Christmas rush for Tracy Island.
Tracy Island models,
What was the Christmas rush you got when you were in New York?
When I was in New York, it must have been around about the sort of mid-80s, I guess. And it was when Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was a big thing. And they made these action figures, right? And
over here in Britain, they sold out.
They somehow sold out of them, right? So I got a call, and I think it was from Today newspaper in the end. And they said, look, We need to get some of these Teenage Mutant Ninja
Turtles.
Give away
his prizes.
Because I think part of the problem was that they'd already promoted the fact that they were going to give them away, and they couldn't get any.
Yeah.
And they were like, we're going to be in a shit here, because people are going to win these fucking things. We're going to have to go, sorry, we're going to have to, you know, give you some money instead. Yeah. So I was dispatched to a Toys R Us, which in those days was quite a rare thing. I don't think it was in Britain. Yeah. Massive, great, big sort of warehouse of toys in Queens, right? When I hired a car, went over there. They said, get as many as you can. I said, well, how much money are you talking about? They went, 5,000 quid. I went, fine. So they fucking transferred the money over to me. I go into this place. I took a photographer with me, and we had two trolleys, right? And I commandeered the manager. I said, right. I said, I'll need about five of your guys. I said, we're going to sweep this place completely clean of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So there's about 10 trolleys, right, following each other around. We get to the till.
Journalism.
Journalism 101, right? Great journalism. And I'm going, this is fucking tremendous. We are absolutely going to be the only fucking people with these things. You know, I've done fucking well here. And we start piling them into the back of the car. And I turned around to the manager and I said, I bet you've never seen anything like this, mate, have you? And he said, actually, no, there was a guy here yesterday from the Daily Star. We had done exactly the same thing. And it was literally the usual Fleet Street fucking
thing. It's an old Fleet Street thing. That there's always at one toy, there's a massive shortage of that everybody wants. So Fleet Street papers try to get that toy and then give it away to the readers.
Exactly.
And they all have the same fucking idea.
Right. But some of them have it slightly earlier than others.
Yeah.
But that was what happened with Tracy Island. And I remember, I think it's twice it's happened now with Tracy Island, where you could buy this thing. And none of my kids wanted one, luckily. But you bought this thing in a box, and it sort of constructed itself. The swing ball opened up. I think a couple of them even had rockets that went up.
Yeah.
Thunderbirds was a remarkable show, actually. I mean, I always loved it. I always loved all those shows. Captain Scarlet and the Mysterons, I thought it was great as well.
Let's go through it. Thunderbirds. Thunderbird 1, Scott. Thunderbird 2, Virgil. Thunderbird 3, Alan.
Alan the blonde young one?
Thunderbird 4, Gordon? Or was Alan?
I think Alan was 4.
And Thunderbird 5, John.
Yeah.
Who had an incongruous Texas
accent. Then there was the sexy girl, wasn't there?
That was Tintin.
Tintin, yeah.
That was Brains' daughter or something.
Something like that.
Yeah.
There was also something a bit weird going on with Brains.
Well, I think Virgil was always trying to fuck Tintin.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, definitely.
Do you remember also... I love this shit. Stingray. Who was the fucking guy? Troy Tempest. So Troy Tempest.
And Marina.
Troy Tempest, right... This Atlanta, who was the daughter of the fucking boss.
Yeah.
So Atlanta really fucking fancied Troy Tempest.
Yeah.
But Troy only had eyes for Atlanta.
Right.
Who was like this fucking mermaid.
Right.
And you always had the beginning. Every time the mermaid came on,
right,
it would go.
I still remember the song Marina.
Yeah. So Marina would come on it and go, right, Marina. Aquamarine.
It's funny how you remember the song.
And then it goes, why can't your words, your lips whisper the words my heart is longing to hear? So you can't see this, but if you check it out, Marina would be swimming along defying the rules of propulsion.
Okay.
Because all her fucking arms would just go up and down. That doesn't fucking get you going forward.
Do you know one of the weirdest things about all of this, right, is that there was a guy who used to live next door to where I grew up in Hampstead, whose name was David Graham. He did all the voices. He did every fucking voice for the Gerry Anderson shows, right? Yeah. And so we would sometimes go around to his house for Christmas drinks, you know.
Yeah.
Lovely guy. I think he died only last year. And he could literally do, as you were standing in front of him, all the voices.
That's amazing.
Which was fucking great.
I fucking love those shoes. Fireball XL5. I wish I was a spaceman, the fastest guy alive. I'd zoom across the universe in Fireball XL5, way out in space together. We'd zoom across the stars. My heart would be a fireball, and you would be my Venus in the sky.
There you go.
Steve Zodiac. And on that bombshell.
It's absolutely right. I can't remember what he did fucking last week.
That's true.
Anyway, that's it for this week. Next week, by the time we come back,
Christmas
to you,
special, I think, next week.
I suppose it'll be a Christmas. We'll probably have to take a couple of weeks off as well, because you're going away, aren't you?
Yeah, I am, yeah.
So we'll see what we can do. We'll maybe try and do
Well, definitely one next week, though.
Definitely
one next week. Anyway, fuck off, you lot.
Yeah, get lost.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.